Broadcasting from the police state that is Frederick City, just outside the former Republic of the United States of America, this is the Frederick Faith Debate, sponsored by Putman Plumbing and Heating. How can we make you smile? You can find the Faith Debate online at WFMD.com. That's WFMD.com. Keyword faith takes you right to the Faith Debate page. All sorts of great links there, including previous Faith Debate podcasts and a blog on the right-hand side of the page. The Faith Debate blog, I could say it's my blog, but that wouldn't be true. My blog is your blog. So email me, troyskinner@clearchannel.com. What you send me, I post. Up to 9 postings a day, Monday through Friday. It's 45 postings a week. And the stuff you send me oftentimes is very good. Sometimes it's rather politically charged. Sometimes it actually has something to do with religion and faith matters. Sometimes it's helpful tips, you know, how to better garden or sell your house more effectively for more money. Or all sorts of stuff you send me. And a lot of it's very good, so I'm glad to put it up there. Our show today is a special edition of the broadcast. No special panel arguing about the finer points of theology. Jonathan Schweitzer continues to have his church life and family life keeping him so distracted that he can't be on the show. And so without Jonathan, it's kind of hard to have a feisty panel, you know what I'm saying? Because that's what Jonathan brings to the show. But we'll have him back soon enough, and we'll get back to our normal standard of how we do things around here. But in the meantime, the special edition, if you're listening to last week, you've heard the first half of a message, and you didn't miss much as far as being able to keep up with this week, because last week was mostly the preamble, the background, that sort of stuff, and we were just about to get into the real heart of the matter and the message when we had to stop. And so what you're going to hear now is the heart of the message, Beware the Antichrist, based on 1 John chapter 2 and 1 John chapter 4. Thanks so much for your indulgence. Hope you enjoy it. Some people teach that Christianity is all about rules. Rules that we beat each other over the head with. Like at military funerals, holding up protest signs of judgment. When Jesus said he has not yet come to judge the world, he will, but he hasn't yet. Right now, he wants us to know that he so loved the world. Protesters like those from Westboro Baptist Church are denying the teaching of Jesus. They have replaced Christ with self-righteous pride, made possible by their love for what they can do, instead of love for what God has already done. What God has done in and through and as Jesus. Because of this, they are, perhaps unwittingly, denying that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus denies that he's the Christ, and John says that people like this are Antichrist. Legalists teach a doctrine that is opposed to the message of the gospel. A message opposed to Christ's message is certainly not pro-Christ. Legalists are anti-Christ. Now let's talk about the pre-Gnostic Docetists of Hellenism, the Greek pagans, who are now claiming to be Christian. Were they antichrists too? Let's find out. These guys are not like the legalists. These are guys who might say, badges? We don't need no stinking badges. Badges, you know, symbols of the law. These are physical things in the natural world. We don't need to worry about what we do, about our behavior, about performing perfunctory practices. We need to recognize the secret truth about ourselves. We need to discover the spark of the divine that is within us. We need to get outside the muddy, gritty, soiled condition of our physical existence by recognizing the true reality, the reality beyond what we perceive as reality. We need to get our thinking straight. This is Gnosticism. Gnostic comes from the Greek word for knowledge. While legalists say the key is doing the right thing,
The Gnostics say the key is knowing the right thing. And what we need to know, they say, is that the spiritual is truly real at the expense of the physical. So the Son of Man was more of a spiritualist, you see. He didn't even really have a body. He couldn't have really died on the cross. This is what Docetism teaches. They teach that the Son of God did not come in the flesh. John warns that this sort of teaching is a lie. And the liars are Antichrist. To be clear, there probably weren't full-fledged Gnostics running around 50 years after Christ died on the cross. Right, real deal, full-fledged Gnosticism arrives on the scene a couple of generations later, probably. But the beginnings of the heresy were certainly present in the first century when 1 John was written. I mean, why else would he be writing about it, right? Similarly, today, we don't really have full-fledged classical Gnosticism. We have a modern variant that's often called New Age spiritualism. It's pretty popular. There's influence of it that can be seen in the philosophy of Oprah Winfrey. The best-selling book, The Secret. Best-selling author, Elaine Pagels. There are elements of it in the movie and the book, Da Vinci Code. There are elements of it in pop psychology. There are elements of it in our midst, in the church, in the visible church anyway. Spiritual leaders that talk about errors in our thinking instead of sin are cut from the Gnostic cloth. Teachers who focus on esoteric spiritualism instead of the brute hard facts of Christ's birth, life, death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, they're from this ascetic cloth. Anyone who emphasizes being a better you, instead of emphasizing the need for you to die to self, has completely missed the point. John 3, verse 30 says, "He must become greater, I must become less." Galatians 2:20 says that I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. 2 Timothy 2:11 says, "Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him." Can you see? Have you heard? It's not about special knowledge and the insight of self-discovery. It's not about finding the spark of the divine within. It's not about becoming a better you. It's not about you or me. It's about him. Anything said in opposition to this is falsehood. As Christians, you know this. You've heard this. John agrees with me, of course. It's because I got it from him. I agree with him. In chapter 2, verse 18, we read as John tells us that you have heard and that we know. In verse 20, you know the truth. You do know it. In verse 24, you have heard from the beginning of the faith. And in verse 27, this anointing you received from him remains in you, so you don't need anyone to teach you. And in verse 29, John writes, you know, you know. In chapter 4, John tells believers in verse 2 that you can recognize the Spirit of God. Again, in verse 3, you have heard. And all this is true for the followers of Christ because, verses 4 and 6, you, dear children, are from God. We are from God. Ah! awesome. Not only do we have the truth, but we know we have the truth. And we can tell what is a lie because we know the truth. How do we know it? Because we've heard it. We've heard the gospel. The gospel which has not changed since the beginning. We have the truth. And therefore, we are from God. We are from God. And therefore, we have the truth. There are false prophets, lying spirits, antichrists who are from the world and not from the church of truth. They say we can save ourselves, that we have divine potential within us, just waiting for us to say abracadabra. In essence, we are our own gods, denying the Son and denying the Father. This is what the liars tell us, often from pulpits in congregations with Christian-sounding names and Christian-looking buildings, using Christian-sounding words. There are false prophets, lying spirits, antichrists who are from the world and not from the church of truth. They say we can save ourselves. We can earn our way by doing all the right things as we choose to define the right things. In essence, we are our own gods, denying the Son and denying the Father. This is what the liars tell us, often from pulpits and congregations with Christian-sounding names and Christian-looking buildings, using Christian-sounding words. But they are not Christian. What they teach stands in opposition to what Christ taught. And they are not merely confused Christians. They are anti-Christ. I know they are not merely confused Christians because I know a confused Christian when I see one. I see one staring back at me in the mirror every day. Christians, we get confused and mixed up sometimes about certain things. We arrive at faulty theological conclusions now and again. But we don't get confused about the gospel. Believers in Christ don't teach that we can save ourselves. Believers in Christ don't preach that we are God. Believers in Christ don't screech hate speech that denies the Father and the Son under some illusion that our self-righteousness is in fact true righteousness. Believers in Christ share the truth. Those who would lead the younger believers astray with a counterfeit gospel are counterfeit Christians. To the world, they might look like a duck and walk like a duck and quack like a duck. But they are nothing but foul. The Apostle John, who reminded us in chapter 1 that he was among the many who saw Jesus, touched Jesus, had authentic fellowship with Jesus, who belonged to the Lord and his followers, tells us in clear, clear language, these false teachers do not really belong to us. And what's more, they never did. They were imposters from the start. Beware! The liars lie. The liars do not tell the truth. We know this is what's going on, John says, by testing the spirits. Testing how? By stacking up the claims against what we have heard since the beginning. In the beginning, God created us. He created us for relationship, but we screwed that up with our sin. We messed up the relationship and continue to mess it up over and over again. But God repairs the breach in that relationship. He did this by sending His Son to die, by condescending to come Himself and die for us. Accept what He has done for you, and you have what God has promised you, even eternal life. This is what John writes to us in chapter 2, verse 25. So remain in Him. Continue in the faith. Do right things. And wait with confidence and assurance for the second coming of Jesus Christ. This is what John writes to us in the final three verses of 1 John chapter 2. And all of this has the ring of some other things we've read from John. As we begin to wrap up, I want to read to you a portion of John's gospel account, approximately one half of chapter 15. Keeping with the theme of skipping around, we won't read the first half or the last half, but combined sections add up to about a half. Chapter 15 begins with Jesus speaking. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Now skipping ahead to verse 18. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belonged to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world. But I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. And then the final two verses of the chapter. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, He will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. Don't fall for the variations of the lie. The lie that you are or can be your own God, either by earning your way to heaven or learning your way to heaven. These deceptions are from Antichrist. The Antichrist is coming. True, yes. But Antichrist is already here and has been since the start of the last hour, which began apparently 17 and a half million hours ago. Since that's how many literal hours there are in 2,000 years. How many hours remain until Christ returns? Maybe another 17 million. Maybe less than one. If you already belong to Him, hang in there. Be patient. Persevere to the last. if you do not already belong to Him. Now is the very best time for you to surrender to Him. To surrender to what you know deep down in your core is the truth. The Holy Spirit illuminates the truth. God loves you. Jesus is Lord and Savior. Praised be His name forever. Father, I thank You for the privilege and honor that it is to share Your word with a gathering of Your people. For those who already know You and call You Father, might You encourage them, encourage us all to love You more, to love others, to not be judging to those outside the church, but to love those outside the church so they will come to know You and come into the church. Help us not to fall prey to the lie that what we do is what matters. Help us to always stay true to the truth, which is what You have done is what matters. We ask that You would impress strongly on the hearts of those who do not know You and do not currently call You Father, to dig deep, 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 deep inside the core of their being, into the corners of their heart, where they know that You are God, worthy of worship, and they know that they have no true excuse for denying it. Help them to recognize Your love, to embrace it, to accept it, and then to go about living righteous lives. But first, oh, that they would know You. Oh, that they would be able to love You back. Oh, that our church would be better at helping people to come to that place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And that concludes part two of a two-part series of a special edition of the Frederick Faith Debate program, made necessary by some scheduling issues, or more accurately, I guess, some personal family issues that Jonathan Schweitzer needed to attend to. So our thoughts and prayers with Jonathan as he works through those things. Speaking of Jonathan, as you might know if you've listened to this show in the past, you know he's the driving force behind the Frederick 48 effort. You can find out more at frederick48.org, frederick48.org. As you might recall, last year, Frederick County had to make some cuts in the county's budget, and some of those cuts affected pretty severely the local social agencies and not-for-profits, and we're trying to cover that shortfall. So Jonathan put together Frederick 48 last year kind of in a hurry, and we raised some very important money for those charities. But now this year, we're a little more organized and hoping to raise a heck of a lot more money. And when Frederick 48 ends, the need will not end. So when the 48-hour fast and the 48-hour drive comes and goes, it doesn't mean that the need comes and goes. So the website will continue to exist, and you can continue to go there and make your donations. Again, that's frederick48.org. Speaking of websites, you can find the Faith Debate website at WFMD.com, keyword faith. And once you get to the Faith Debate page, you'll actually find a link to the Frederick48.org website. So if you can't remember all these websites, just remember WFMD.com. You can do that, right? Because this is WFMD you're listening to. WFMD.com, keyword faith. That takes you to the Faith Debate page. You'll find all sorts of great links, including to Frederick48.org, but also to podcasts of this show, great information about a whole bunch of religions. Pretty much every religion known in the universe has a link on the page. And then blogs from listeners like you. So email me, Troy Skinner at clearchannel.com. That's Troy Skinner, T-R-O-Y-S-K-I-N-N-E-R, at clearchannel.com. No dots or dashes or anything like that. Pretty simple, just my name at clearchannel.com. And if you send me something that's related to religion
even if it's politics, even if it's a tidbit of a factoid, a helpful hint about how to avoid getting mugged, whatever, as long as it's not offensive, you know what I'm saying? You send that to me, and I will post it. 9 postings a day, Monday through Friday, 48 postings a week go up on the Faith Debate page. I encourage you to check it out. Even if you don't want to email me, check it out and see what people are sending my way for me to share with you. Again, that's WFMD.com, keyword faith. I want to thank our sponsor, Putman Plumbing and Heating. How can we make you smile? Marlena and Patrick Putman, longtime friends of mine. And if you start doing business with them, I'm sure they'll become longtime friends of yours as well. Until next week, I think we're going to have a special edition next week, too. Maybe the next 2 weeks. And by then, we'll have all of our conflicts squared away. We'll get back to normal on the Frederick Faith Debate. Thanks so much for listening. Till next time, God bless.
Here at Putman Plumbing, we make a living by servicing our customers' needs, but we make our life by how we service our clients. The Putman Plumbing way combines value, ethics, honest answers, and amazing service because we believe you deserve it. Putman Plumbing, how can we make you smile?